Acts chapter 17. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. A synagogue is like a church where the Jews used to meet. And Paul, as he always did, went into them, and for three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, proving that the Christ, the Messiah, had to suffer and to be resurrected from the dead. And that this Jesus, whom I am preaching to you, is the Christ, is the Messiah. So you see, they thought that this Messiah figure was going to come and just give them salvation straight away. But Paul was showing that actually in the Old Testament, this Messiah, this Saviour, King of Israel, was to die and be resurrected. And he's saying, look, this Jesus of Nazareth fits the picture exactly. And some of them were persuaded and stayed with Paul and Silas, and of the faithful Gentiles, a large crowd, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews, you see, always but, that everything goes well, and then but. But the Jews, being moved with envy, with jealousy, stirred up the city using some bad men, and they assaulted the house of Jason and tried to bring him out to the people. And when they didn't find Paul there, then they dragged Jason and some other brothers before the rulers of the city, crying, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here as well, whom Jason has received into his house, and they're all doing contrary to the commands of Caesar, saying that there is another king called Jesus." Well, that was true. Paul was preaching one Lord and one King and one Saviour, and that's Jesus. And Caesar was the great king of the Roman Empire, and he liked to say that he was the only king and Saviour. He even wrote it on the coins that they had in those days, that Caesar is the only Saviour, the only king. And Jesus, and Paul is saying, no, Jesus is the king. So what they were teaching was radical. It was really different to what everybody in the world, in society, generally thought. And the message of Jesus Christ that we're preaching is also radically different. And so they stirred up the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And the brothers immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night to Berea. When they got there, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. So again, they weren't discouraged. They kept on keeping on. Now, these were more noble than the people in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of the gospel with all readiness of mind, and they examined the scriptures daily. They opened the scrolls, maybe went to the synagogue and got them out and had a look to see whether what Paul was saying was really so, and therefore many of them believed. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, so it's only if we are following the Bible and reading the Bible and checking out what people tell us compared to the Bible, only like that will we truly believe and find truth. And also of the Greek women who were very wealthy, and of some wealthy men, also not a few of them believed. But, you've got this word again, all goes well and then but. But when the Jews of Thessalonica, where Paul has just been, had heard that the word of God was being preached by Paul at Berea, then they also came there and stirred up the crowds. And immediately the brothers sent Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. And Silas and Timothy stayed there still in Berea. But those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens. And receiving a commandment to Silas and Timothy that they should come to him quickly, they left him there. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred within him as he saw the city full of idols. That's how we should be. If you see a crowd of people walking down a street, maybe you're in an aeroplane and you see all the lights of a city down below, our heart should bleed for all those people that they don't know Jesus Christ. And so, while he was in Athens, his spirit was provoked when he saw how they were worshipping idols. He argued in the synagogue with the Jews and with the religious people, and in the marketplace with those who met with him. And some of the philosophers, the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, met him. Others said, "What would this babbler say?" Others say, "He seems to be suggesting we believe in strange gods," because he was preaching to them Jesus and the resurrection. And so they took hold of him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "Can we know what this new teaching is? For you're bringing some strange things to our ears, and we'd like to know what these things mean." And all the people in Athens and the strangers who used to visit Athens spent their time in nothing else but listening or speaking some new thing. And so Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill of the Areopagus and said, "You men of Athens, in all things, I see that you are very superstitious. But as I passed by, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.'" They thought that in case there was a God they'd forgotten, they better just make an altar to the unknown God, lest he got angry. "What therefore you ignorantly worship, I am going to declare unto you. The God that made the world and everything in it, he is Lord of heaven and earth. He doesn't live in temples made with hands." And there in Mars Hill, he was surrounded by all these temples. "Neither is he worshipped by men's hands as if he needed anything, seeing he gives to all life, breath, and all things, and has made of one blood all nations of men to live on the face of the earth, and has determined the times and areas where they are to live, so that they should seek God, if indeed they might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from every one of us." And that's a wonderful comfort, that he is not far from every one of us. "For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. So being then the children of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like gold or silver or stone, graven by men and sculptors. But the times of this ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands men that they should all, everywhere, repent, because he's appointed a day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness by the man whom he has chosen," and that's Jesus, "of which he has given assurance to all men in that he raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some laughed, but others said, 'We'll hear you again about this matter.' Then Paul departed from among them. But some men stayed with him and believed, among whom was Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman called Damaris, and others with them."